What? What's he doing? If you have POTS, I am so sorry for the up and down. I really hope you don't pass out. That's a thing with POTS, right? So I'm not going to ask you to stand and sit down many more times here in a few moments. But shake it out, right? Are you all awake? I don't think you're all awake quite yet. Just, right? What is he doing? He's a weird guy. Weird preacher. All will be made clear. I hope. Someday. That's what we're promised in the Gospels, right? All will be made clear. Last time I preached from down here, you all got really wet, right? No, I'm not going to splash you all with water this time. But I did have you sit because I'm going to be talking a little bit longer with the text today. Because today you're going to hear again the Sermon on the Plain. And the lectionary gives it to us in smaller chunks, okay? Last week we heard it, the first part of it, and this week we hear part two of it. And if we continue with the lectionary, which we do, we continue with the lectionary, which is this three-year rotation of texts that we get. We get into Transfiguration Sunday next week, and we don't get part three of Jesus's Sermon on the Plain. So instead, we're going to hear all of Jesus's Sermon on the Plain today in one chunk. And we're not going to break it up. We're going to hear the whole thing uninterrupted. And instead of preaching from the pulpit, right, I'm going to be on a level place, right? Just like it says that these words would have been originally preached. So I want you to try and put yourself in that place, okay? I want you to try and use your imagination a little bit this morning. As Jesus is preaching these words from a level place, okay? I want you to think of three questions as I'm reading this passage, this longer passage today. And it's on your blue sheet in there, okay? And then I'm going to invite you into small groups. And we're going to have a chapel chat. We did it once before, and it went pretty well. But we're going to have some conversation afterwards. And I left you space to take notes. So if you can find a pencil in your pews or something, or if Elaine over there has enough pens in her purse to pass out, maybe not. Or if you can steal some off of somebody, you can take some notes for some conversation. But I want you to follow along as I'm reading. And there's some Bibles in the pews. I grabbed as many NRSV Bibles as I could find throughout the church. And it was just enough to have one in each pew. So maybe we need to get some more Bibles. Otherwise, you can pull out your phones. That's okay. This isn't a classroom setting where I'm going to send you to detention or anything. You can pull out your phones and you can Google NRSV Bible. That was a joke. It's okay. NRSV Bible. And we're looking at Luke 6, verses 17 to 49, if you want to follow along. If you want to just hear these words as well, you can do that. But I want you to ponder these questions. And the wording is a little different than what's on the sheet. I changed it a little bit this morning, but it's close. I just tried to clarify it a little more. But what do you hear in what Jesus says about how we should live with one another? What do you hear in what Jesus says about how we should live with one another? And second, what do you hear in what Jesus says about how we should be in relationship with ourselves? What do you hear in what Jesus says about how we should be in relationship with ourselves? And finally, what do you learn about God in Jesus's preaching? What do you learn about God in Jesus' preaching. So hear these words from Luke 6. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at the disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But when I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to anyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, nor everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Friend, let me take out the speck in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house, who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against the house, but could not shake it because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Mr. God.
Now again, those questions are, what do you hear in what Jesus says about how we should live with one another? What do you hear in what Jesus says about how we should be in relationship with ourselves? And what do you learn about God and Jesus' preaching? Now, before you break off into small groups and have a few minutes of conversation, I do want to address just one thing about the portion of forgiveness in there, because that middle passage has been used to cause some really great harm. And whenever I can, I think it's important to address when scripture has been used to cause harm instead of good. Okay. So people have used this idea of turning the other cheek and giving up one's shirt to justify that one should stay in an abusive relationship. Okay. And folks, that's just not the case. Okay, and I want to explain why. Because we see throughout scripture that God wants salvation for the people that are oppressed. We see it with the Israelites in Egypt most clearly. And we see it in the Psalm today, where God is calling the people out of oppression, out of bondage, out of chains, right? And there's a whole branch of theology called liberation theology that focuses on this. And to say that God would want otherwise is counter to the nature of God that we see. To understand this passage, then, it is to understand a little bit of what's going on. And I know I said that I would not talk much, but I think this is really important, okay? To turn the other cheek, right, is then to make eye contact with the person who did the slapping. It's to make eye contact with the person who caused the pain and to put them on a level playing field. And to give up one shirt in addition to a coat is to make that person look at your nakedness, okay? And in that culture, it was not shame to the person who is naked. It brings shame upon the person who looks at one who is naked. It's the story in Genesis with Noah and his sons. His sons walk in and they see their father who is naked, and immediately they cover him up, because to see their father naked brings shame upon themselves. To see this person naked brings shame upon the one who asked for the coat and is taking and taking and taking. The shame is not upon the one who gives, but it's upon the one who takes. To see this and to say, if you want all of me, then you will have to see what you have done to me and face what you have done. What Jesus is preaching is not passivity even, But what he is preaching is a form of non-violent resistance that brings shame upon the oppressor. Too much of Scripture has been used to cause harm. And when we can dismantle that, I think it's very important that we do. Okay? So that's why I wanted to address that before we get into our small groups. But you have your questions, okay? And you had your paper to write some notes. So I want you to take maybe 5 minutes, find a group of three, maybe four, and have some good conversation. I know it's uncomfortable, okay? You don't normally do this in worship, but lean into the uncomfortable bits. And then we'll gather together and we'll continue on with our worship, okay? Ready, break.